The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In Florida, a man is beaten at Disney World for making fun of a child with Down syndrome.
Should have been.
In Iowa, a man calls the police to kindly request they remove his photo from their Facebook wanted list.
He didn't have a leg or a head.
He did not. And a routine traffic stop leads to a major arrest in Pennsylvania. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, April 11th on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. April 11th.
Already.
April 11th.
Wow.
Spring is upon us.
Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. I had to cut my grass last week.
Which means it's 90.
Yeah, it's going to be in the high 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I thought spring was like 60s.
That was
somewhere else.
That would be nice. I would love that.
Wisconsin hunting the last day of May. Turkey hunting was 48 degrees.
That's up.
In the morning.
Oh, wait, right when you get up. Wow.
Yeah, and like in 60s. Hard to beat that. Daytime. Yeah. I went up there, you know, thinking I was just bringing shorts and shit the first time I went. I was like, fuck, it's cold as fuck up here.
Yeah.
See, I think this part of the country gets very much misunderstood and undersold in a lot of other places in the country, because from like October to March, the weather is great here. I mean, it's as nice as the weather in California over that period of time. It just – when it hits the brakes and it becomes – the muggy season, it hits hard and fast, and it lasts for
last summer, 3 months, no rain.
Yeah.
Yep. It was open. Jim just showed me a picture of a turkey. It was open turkey season this past weekend, and I didn't hunt, but one of my buddies hunted and killed one.
Very good.
And saw a mini. Had a big hog come run three gobblers.
Yeah. Can you do a turkey call pretty good?
Yeah.
I bet you can.
With actual turkey calls.
Oh, not with your hands?
No, but I do the alcohol.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yeah. You can do the alcohol right before daylight, and turkeys will gobble on the roost from the tree. It's a sound thing, because one time I accidentally slammed my truck door when I was getting out turkey hunt, and they heard it, and they gobbled.
Yeah.
They're, like, really sensitive one thing, and boom, they're out of there?
Yeah. This you do this as a locator before, so you want to set up, try to catch them coming off the roost, and you start calling. You do a wing flapping on the ground, and you know they think it's a girl, and they're coming down to get it, get some.
Yeah.
So the girl flaps the wing on the ground.
Well, I mean, it sounds like when they come down, they got to flap to come down.
Mm. Okay, got it.
We could put Mike in a turkey costume and take him turkey hunting. Tell him to sit out there.
I told you
he'd
about,
be the decoy.
I told you about Chelsea the bird. I mean, Chelsea the bird kind of did the same thing with her wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to retell that story probably. Yeah. My wife doesn't want to hear that.
Well, let's get down to some true crime time for Thursday.
And I'm going to tell you what, reading this first one we're going to get into got my blood boiling pretty good. I'm sure it would anybody that hears this. And It happened in the most magical place on earth, they call it. One man's trip to the most magical place on earth ended with him bloodied, bruised, and behind bars after he got wasted and made fun of a woman with Down syndrome, sparking a bar brawl with her family.
Yeah, no doubt.
Brent George, 61, was arrested and charged with 4 counts of first-degree battery after officers responded to reports of a fight at the Bellevue Lounge, which is a 1930s-style speakeasy, and I've actually been to that, inside Disney World's Boardwalk Inn. An intoxicated George, sporting visible injuries to his face, told officers someone in the lounge had just pitched a glass cup at him. Unable to recall specific details about what led up to the seemingly unprovoked assault, George said he had downed 3 shots of bourbon and a beer before ambling over to a nearby table occupied by another family. He stated he was having a good time with the individuals, and then he was attacked by them. Well, you know, a story's coming, yeah, right?
3 sides.
People just don't attack you for nothing, typically. A friend of George's backed him up, telling police he approached the family because they were having fun. The friend said he witnessed the glass cup being thrown and overheard someone at the table say they wanted to kill him. He claimed George was acting in self-defense. But Wesley Goldberg, sitting at the table with his family, then told the officers a very different story. He said that George had approached them and started to taunt his sister, a wheelchair-bound woman with Down syndrome, by imitating the grunts she occasionally made. Goldberg's mother, Candace Goldberg, then stood up and asked George if he was making fun of her daughter. In response, George got up and physically shoved her. When Goldberg's wife tried to intervene, George slapped her across the face. Goldberg then got involved and traded blows with George before the 61-year-old was grabbed in a bear hug by an unnamed bystander who hustled him from the scene. No broken glass was found in the area, and it's believed no glass cup was used in the incident because he was lying. George was handcuffed, arrested, and transported to a local jail without further incident. He spent the night there and was released after his wife paid his $4,000 bond. The Ohio native has pled not guilty. What a piece of fuck.
Piece of shit. And you know what? I know they got cameras in there.
Yeah. They definitely. Glass, they got him dead to rights,
glass,
man.
Glass involved. And
what's he officially charged with?
Being a dumbass.
Among other things, yeah. But assault. Assault and battery on four people.
I just
First-degree battery.
That's just unbelievable.
Which is a felony, is it not? First-degree battery?
Sure it is. And yeah. It's different in every state, but yeah, I'm sure it is.
Well, I don't think Mickey Mouse will be inviting him back anytime soon.
Tell you what, when you got to resort to, I don't care how drunk you are, but if you're that low of a human being, you don't need to be walking the earth, in my opinion. Absolutely. You're about as, chicken shit stands higher than you do.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point, that's pretty disgusting.
Loser.
Yeah.
And massively ignorant. So,
100%.
I agree.
Okay. Woody often talks about the dangers of routine traffic stops.
No such thing.
But this is a story about a massive crime spree that gets solved because of a routine traffic stop. Good. Way back in 2019, a man named Thomas Trotter was pulled over for driving erratically outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Scranton.
The home of...
That's where I've heard that.
The birthplace of your
presence. Yeah.
Police. Right.
You don't mess with dudes from Scranton.
Police found evidence in Trotter's trunk that linked him to the 2016 theft of an ATM. Listen to this. That he ripped out of a grocery store using a snowplow.
Nice.
Kind of hard to believe they wouldn't catch the people that stole the ATM by using a snowplow. Maybe they couldn't
get to him because there was too much snow. He had to snowplow his way to the ATM.
Well, from there, police linked Trotter to a string of burglaries, but police didn't really have any idea who they had captured. That is, until Thomas Trotter began laying out the details of his career as a thief in exchange for a reduced sentence. I think what happened was this guy had been at it for so long that he was, sort of hoping he'd be caught at some point, and when he was, he would share his story because his story is pretty unbelievable. So he informed investigators on the details of a bunch of unsolved heists, including museums he had hit, the theft of Yogi Berra's World Series rings, and even artwork by Andy Warhol and other famous artists that he had stolen.
Should be a dumb criminal.
He also gave up his longtime crew, the lookouts and getaway drivers. How we justified it is, hey, nobody's getting hurt, Trotta said. This guy's 48. He grew up outside of Scranton, as we said. He was a sports fan and especially loved baseball. His grandparents took him to a lot of New York Yankees games when he was growing up. He also grew up as a thief. He said that when he was so young when he started stealing that he still believed in Santa Claus at the time.
Very nice.
As a teen, he began running with a crew of neighborhood friends who in time became his accomplices. The gang went from robbing payphones to burglarizing homes, and soon theft became his full-time job. Marrying his two passions, Trotta specialized in stealing sports memorabilia. Mm-hmm. So starting in 1999, he had a string of unbelievable sports memorabilia robberies. So an exhibit devoted to the Hall of Fame pitcher, Christy Mathewson. I don't know if you
Christy
Mathewson.
Is that a man? Well,
yes, he was a famous pitcher. He won 373 games as a pitcher.
Yeah, he's good.
So he that guy had a display at Keystone College in Pennsylvania. It featured a jersey commemorating the 1905 World Series. The woman who was running the display allowed visitors, including Trotta, to get close up. She even took the jersey out of the display case and let him hold it. He went back later that night for the jersey, and after stealing it, he says he felt compelled to try it on. The fact that he wore it during the game, I got a kick. Trotta said, I'm a fanatical baseball fan. So he kept stealing stuff like this. Eventually, he got Roger Maris's MVP plaque. So the 1961 MVP plaque of Roger Maris. That's when he set the all-time home run record before the whole steroid era.
61.
In October of 2014, he got 9 of Yogi Berra's World Series rings from the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center in New Jersey. That, I mean, I can't believe they kept all 9 of Yogi Berra's rings in that same place. He also got 2 MVP trophies and 7 championship rings. So he got really everything from Yogi Berra's career. For all of that Yogi Berra memorabilia, he got $12,000.
Nice.
This guy. It was valued at well over $1 million. Trotta said that he and his alleged accomplices would melt down what they stole because it was too really difficult to
resell it.
To resell it, exactly. Yeah. So even though the sports memorabilia market might be a $25 billion market, demand dries up when the objects are obviously stolen. Lindsay Berra, who is Yogi's granddaughter and a journalist, she's devoted her career to preserving the legacy of her grandfather, said she burst into tears when she heard that Yogi's about Yogi's stolen rings. She said it didn't make sense to her then, and it still baffles her now. You go through all this trouble to plan for months, and then you steal the stuff. You steal for pennies compared to what it's actually worth, and not to mention the fact that you're destroying historical artifacts with significance so much beyond the gold and diamonds they're made of. So anyway, this guy Trotta gives up his entire gang. He doesn't know where the Warhol that he stole, a Jackson Pollock that he stole, all of the stuff that he stole over the years actually is. And he got a greatly reduced sentence for turning in all of his peeps. Thomas Trotta.
I'll say this. I'm still looking for my Letterman jacket.
He may have
it. I can't. I ain't found it.
I don't know where mine is either.
Since probably third year of college.
I wonder if this dude.
You can write.
I think my ex-girlfriend stole it.
Yeah.
You can write to Thomas Trotta at the Pennsylvania State Prison. He might have your Letterman jacket. Yeah.
It's blue.
Why not?
He brought more bucks. He
probably melted it down.
Look, I'll tell you this. All joking aside on that I never understood, and the same thing goes with paintings. I never understood why people steal these original Andy Warhols, for example, because it's not like you can, you know, you get that stuff to display it and kind of show it off. Right. It's not like you can promote, hey, dude, I've got a original, because when those things get stolen, it becomes front page news. Mm-hmm. So what's the point in stealing? Or you have to sell it for nothing.
Yeah, I heard of some people that had lots of stolen paintings and stuff, but they have a, like a private room where they just go sit and smoke the cigars, drink the bourbon, and look at them themselves. Probably mad.
God. Well, man. And you would think this guy, as a lifelong Yankee fan, would place some sentimental value on Yogi Berra's championship ring.
He did. He went and stole them.
Yeah. Well, then he sentimentally got.
They melt them down. 1%
of their value.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think it was, believe it or not, I think it was O.J. Simpson or somebody had stole their memorabilia and then they went to jail for trying to steal it back.
O.J. Simpson. That's how O.J. ended up.
Yeah.
He went to Vegas and got his way into the hotel room and
threatened to kill the guy or something. Yeah.
And he was on probation or some bullshit.
Well, I don't cry any tears for him, but
it's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara. Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with my life in a book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today. We'll move on to, look, when I came across this story, I kind of debated whether I was going to do it because it was a little bit dated. It happened on Easter. But when I read it, I'm like, I don't know how we missed this the first time, but this one needs to be told. It is a pretty horrific story. In a complicated murder-suicide involving a Jacksonville, Florida family, an adult son shot and killed his father and 12-year-old brother, wounded his mother, and took his own life on Easter Sunday. This, according to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. Now, it began with a call about people being shot. Under Sheriff Sean Corsi said arriving officers located a woman at the entrance of the neighborhood who was shot several times. She was able to tell them that one of her adult sons was in the house shooting family members. They made entry into the home and found three people dead and two juveniles who were hiding. It was determined the 22-year-old son was using racial slurs. He had a white father and he was biracial that his father didn't like, and they got in an argument. The son went upstairs, armed himself. He put on what looked like some kind of tactical vest, gloves, a mask, and shot his father, killing him at the scene. Shot the juvenile who is believed to be his brother, killing him on the scene. Shot his mother, who was able to run out and call police. The lone survivor of the murder-suicide said he made me hold them when he killed them. Dang. The other two juveniles hid. All were family members, and the undersheriff said the mother was in surgery, so her condition was not released. Two firearms, one described as a long gun and a handgun, were recovered at the scene, and the incident report lists the rifle as the primary weapon used. The family gave some history of mental health issues with the son, but Corsi said the sheriff's office hadn't been called about it before. He did not release the name of the son, and it hasn't been released as of yet, but the surviving siblings that were hiding were 14 and 16. Thank God they were hiding, right, or they'd be dead. Right. A list of calls for police to the home in the span, in a short span showed three disputes and calls, two for domestic and three for a missing person, so five actually total. You know, the police, no stranger, I guess, to this family. Five calls in a short span, and it ends up with
unreal
major murder on Easter Sunday, man.
Could have been almost a family.
Family dispute.
It's unreal.
Who was the one that was, it was a younger sibling that held people? Who was holding?
Yeah, it was a younger sibling. No, the mother. The mother was the surviving mother held.
Oh my God.
The others, while he shot and killed him. Unreal. He made her do it. That's a special kind of evil right there, son.
I'm guessing he's a juvenile. That's why they hadn't released his name.
Actually, you know, I would guess right. Yeah, probably. It doesn't list his age, but
as an adult. Well, you know, maybe he's got.
I take that back. Would he 22-year-old? 22-year-old.
Okay. All right. Well, there you
so go. He wasn't a juvenile. They just hadn't released his name, at least by the time I printed this article.
Mm. Unreal.
So, yeah.
Well, we're going to go to China.
China,
where all you got to be is 12.
Yao Ming.
For them to treat you like an adult. Yao Ming is your China reference. Okay.
Come back.
I wonder where Yao is these days. Three children are facing the death penalty in China for beating their 13-year-old classmate to death and leaving him disfigured beyond recognition. The three suspects, all under age 14 at the time of the murder, are accused of bullying their classmate named Wang. That's the only name they would give for him is Wang. And the bullying happened over a long period of time before they eventually killed him. This happened in the northern China province of Hebei last month. He was beaten alive with his body disfigured beyond recognition, Wang's father wrote in a Chinese social media platform. I hope the government will be fair, open, and just, punish them severely, and that the killers will pay with their lives. The killers buried Wang's body in an abandoned greenhouse, and this case has drawn public attention as to how China deals and how China's law deals with juveniles accused of serious crimes. In 2021, China lowered its age of criminal responsibility from 14 to 12 for quote unquote special cases such as inflicting death by extremely cruel means. The statute is what Wang's killers are facing. Which means the boys could face the death penalty over the murder. On March 10th, surveillance cameras showed Wang sitting on a scooter surrounded by these three classmates. An hour later, his phone went dead, kicking off a frantic search by relatives. The following day, police made the sickening discovery of the boy's body, which was buried underneath a tarp in an abandoned vegetable greenhouse. In a statement on March 17th, police said the boy had been killed on March 10th and that the suspects were detained the following day. A police investigator said that the crime had been premeditated, with the suspects digging out the pit twice, once the day before and again the day of the killing. Damn. So they had picked out where they were going to bury the boy. Wang's relatives and their attorneys said in interviews that the boy had long been a victim of bullying and was forced to give money to one of his classmates before he was killed. They said police identified the suspected killers after reviewing the surveillance footage and questioning the classmates. The provincial prosecutor said today that it has received a police request to criminally try the suspects. Their surnames are Zhang, Li, and Ma. It said it had concluded the three were 12 and 14 when they intentionally committed the murder, causing death of the victim Wang. The circumstances were serious and they should be held criminally responsible. Under Chinese law, the murder is now punishable by imprisonment or the death penalty, and state media have given Wang's death widespread coverage, though there are signs that Chinese authorities are keeping a close eye on public sentiment. So it's not committed fully at this point that they will execute them. There's a bit of a battle publicly going on about this. So the one other interesting thing here that I had never heard of, media reports said that the three boys were what is known as, quote, left behind children, which describes kids in the countryside that are often cared for by grandparents because their parents work in faraway cities. The lack of parental guidance for left behind children has been a longstanding social issue in China. So I guess there's a portion of the population that is not living with their kids. They're hundreds of miles away or maybe thousands of miles away working in another city, and that they've had a lot of challenges with those quote unquote left behind children. And these three left behind children really got left behind and got very effed up.
Either way, execution or life in Chinese prison, no bueno. I know that's not Chinese, but I don't know how to say no good in Chinese.
Yeah, you dead, I think. I mean, there's some protest to it, but I think they're going to push through to kill.
They kill, yeah.
Three young kids.
Wow.
I don't know. I know if they execute you in China, they bill your family for the bullet.
Yep.
Well, there may be a couple of bills coming. But do you know if you end up 6 feet under and hopefully have a much more normal death than this, there's a great place to go.
I know. We've been there.
There's a big American flag there.
In Broussard, Louisiana.
There's a big electronic sign that says real life, real crime. I don't think they've taken that down yet. I think that's still up. Maybe they've taken it down. But you got three great people in Roy, Kristen, and Kristen taking care of your loved ones, your family members, your fur babies.
Pets, right? I was blown away Did I tell you about the lifer who messaged us about having her pet made into a diamond? You know how they do that now? And I said they want ask me for advice on who, or asking for advice on who to go to. I said, I don't know, but call Roy and Kristen at Louisiana Pet Crematory, and they can tell you everything that you need to know, because they are the best in the business, right?
And
her pet was already on the way there.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, but she hadn't talked to them personally, like it got sent from the vet or whatever. I said, you need to call them and tell them you're a lifer.
Yeah.
And because they love us and we love them.
And they are taking care of something like 300 animals a month. Yeah. And so
we met the people that do that. The great staff there. They do everything from the funerals to the pet side to autopsies. And we got to meet all those great people.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Got to see a little bit of autopsy.
Yes, you did. You always got to see your first dead people.
Jim really wasn't looking.
I don't speak about the dead.
There's one disrespect. On your one sitting on your bed every night.
That's right. I don't want to piss that person off.
Maybe. Well, hey, if you should require services like that, you've got LAPetCrematory.com. You've got LAFuneralServices.com. And you can look them up online as well. Great people. We love them. And they will take awesome. Good care of you. Rest easy.
All right. Well, we've got a good example of narcissism right here for you. Probably one of the best I've seen. An Iowa man accused of exposing himself to an 11-year-old girl. He trailed through a Walmart toy aisle, called the cops, and asked that a store surveillance photo of him be removed from the police department's Facebook page.
Nice.
Yeah, he just
can't do the shame.
I mean, because he's time. Who he is, right? And you need to remove, because it's embarrassing.
Right.
So the lewd act actually occurred 4 months ago at a Walmart super center in Iowa City. The child told cops that an adult followed her into the store. When she looked over at the man, his genitals were exposed and he was masturbating.
Motherfucker.
Walmart security video showed the man following the victim out of the toy aisle just before the victim reported the incident to her mother and store employees. In seeking the public's help in identifying the pervert, Iowa City cops posted an image from the video showing the suspect inside of the Walmart. They kept this kind of like on a rolling deal. They have a wanted section inside their Facebook. And they hadn't heard for quite a while from any leads or anything. And then lo and behold, they get a call. And the call is from the guy that is charged. And he said,
Would you mind removing
my picture?
So they didn't have him identified
Correct. They just had a picture of him. Didn't know who he was, but they were able to track him down. His name was Dustin Hills. He is 44. And police, of course, did not grant the wanted man's wish to delete the evidence, but they were able to locate him by his phone call. Hill was arrested yesterday and charged with indecent exposure and aggravated misdemeanor, for which he is locked up in lieu of a $5,000 bond. Now, he had a little bit of a rap sheet, including a 2014 conviction for indecent exposure. Look, when they get caught, it's not the first time they've done it, especially these type of crimes, as well as convictions for theft, narcotics, etc. So...
Winner.
They get him finally after 4 months on it. Really, his own.
Can you take my picture down? I mean, not identified. He almost got away with it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he was that dumb.
That's right.
Parents, don't let your kids walk around in Walmart or any of these superstores by themselves.
Used to be a time you could do that. Not anymore.
Wow.
Not a good idea. Let's go to Nueva York. You're going to like this, Woody. Think. The NYPD is unleashing barnacles to battle parking pirates.
Barnacles.
That's right. Barnacles.
Arr.
The department this week said it will begin using a 17-pound device that attaches to a vehicle's windshield, like a barnacle and remains there until all past due violations are paid.
Really?
The contraption is known as a barnacle device for its commercial-grade suction cups that attach to glass with 1,000 pounds of force, making it impossible to remove, just like the sticky crustaceans on the oceanic, so on their oceanic coast.
Wheel lock. Yeah.
So unlike the traditional steel parking boots, which lock a car's wheels, this device immobilizes vehicles by blocking the driver's ability to view to see out the windshield. The use of the barnacle device is part of a pilot program, an NYPD spokeswoman said on Saturday. The NYPD has leased a bunch of these devices and will use them to target illegally parked vehicles and trucks with excess fines. The panels cost $250 each per month to operate. So far, the city has, like I said, leased a bunch of them, which it's used during an operation in Queens going after illegally parked trucks, the NYPD said. This allows us to hold those accountable, reduce parking congestion, and address cars that are a nuisance and hazard to the community, NYPD's chief of transportation, Philip Rivera, tweeted on Thursday. Barnacle Parking, the company that makes the device, said the yellow panels have a polycarbonate body and can only be removed using a code. That code is supplied once the owner pays their fine. Motorists can remove the device themselves once they enter the code after they have paid the required fine. And for parking managers, there's no motorist interaction required, resulting in enhanced safety. If they would have to be, if they would have slapped a barnacle on that jockey's truck 2 weeks ago, that tow truck driver wouldn't have punched him in the face and killed him. So I'm a fan of this method. Any driver who tries to pull an Ace Ventura, remember Ace Ventura with his head hanging out the side of his, what was that, an old Monte Carlo he was driving, something like that, and drive with the device attached while hanging out the window will suffer a blaring alarm and can be tracked with GPS. So that's a no-no. You can't sneak off in the thing. Drivers will also have to pay a $200 deposit for the device that they'll get back when they return the device to the drop box. The devices are already being used in cities like Greeley, Colorado, and Charleston, South Carolina, and many cities have them on order.
They must be cheaper than the than the
be cool.
The tire shoes.
Yeah, the boots.
The boots. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, they've eliminated any sort of middle work. There's no tow truck involved or anything like that, and the person who's got the fines is able to remove this. Unlike the boot thing, they can remove it with a code, and so and then they get $200 back when they return.
And those must cost $200 probably or something like that each. So
I'll tell you what,
because some people may say, "Forget it, I'm keeping it."
Yeah, on very very interesting in on Real Life Real Crime Original on Saturday the 20th, I'm actually having on Joseph
Imperatrice.
Yeah, so I'm having him on, and who Joseph is. He is the head and the founder of Blue Lives Matters New York City, and he often appears on Fox Network and Newsmax. But he's coming in and for the grand opening of O'Hara's Pub on 3rd Street, downtown Baton Rouge. That's also the weekend of the Blues Festival.
What's the name of it again? Harris Pub?
O'Hara's Pub.
O'Hara's Pub. Okay.
And there's actually an O'Hara's Pub in New York City, close to the World Trade Center. And it's basically a cop bar.
Yeah.
But this is going to be the grand opening on the Friday night, the 19th. We're going to record on Thursday, the 18th. And so we'll get his take on the suction cups. But he's a longtime NYPD detective and homicides and everything else. And I also, I may be letting the cat out of the bag. I heard he's running for mayor next time. So anyway, it'd be interesting to see what he has to say about that and other things New York City related.
Absolutely.
And if Mike has
New York City.
I told him to see if Aggo has it.
Don't Aggo have, has don't have him look into it, Dan. No.
I'm going to get an Aggo's criminal history.
I've ran to two separate states.
There is an Agovino in
to get away.
Yeah.
There, if you Google it, there's another Agovino.
Well, let me tell you something.
That did a lot of bad things.
So for a long time, I mean, it's not a common last name. You could just Google my name and it would be mostly me and a writer. And all of a sudden, there's a guy committing horrible sexual abuse up in Westchester County, and and like five pages, the first 5 pages.
Don't worry, we're going to have Joe's going to bring us a hit list.
I paid for all that facial surgery so that I no longer look like that guy.
So. Yeah, definitely.
What the?
Very good, Woody.
Let's you are hired that. That's for perfect. Sound effects. That's perfect.
That's right, folks. It's a WTF. And when I came across this story, that was my first thought. A woman in Oklahoma claimed the vehicle she is accused of stealing was a birthday tip from a former Waffle House customer.
Nice.
Officers,
perfectly believable.
Yeah. Officers received a tip about a stolen white Jeep Liberty on April 1st. Officers were able to stop the Jeep and speak with the driver, who they identified as Angela Harrison. Harrison told officers that she was at a gas station an hour earlier when she ran into a former customer of hers when she worked at Waffle House. She told police the man gave her $10 in cash and the Jeep as a gift because it was her 53rd birthday coming up in just a few weeks. Okay. The Jeep, however, was reported stolen before Christmas, police said. Detectives also had a photo of Harrison driving the Jeep from January 14th. Dang. Harrison identified herself in the photo, so that she probably posted a pic on Facebook of her inside the Jeep. And, of course, they're going to stalk your Facebook and check it out and see what you're posting. But she could not explain why she was driving the Jeep on January 14th after she claimed the vehicle was gifted to her only an hour before. Mm. Harrison was arrested and charged with possession of a stolen vehicle. Interestingly enough, Tulsa police said the owner of the Jeep died last year, and the vehicle was returned to his family.
Crazy.
So
she could have been on a test drive knowing that she was going to be gifted it later. It was just possible. An early test drive.
But, you know, what would make her think the police were going to believe that?
I have no idea. Dummy.
Dude gave me a Jeep. It's my birthday in a few weeks. Right. And $10 cash. Right. You threw the $10 cash in there. As that was going to make it believable.
Because that'll buy you a gallon of gas.
Are you saying that, generally speaking, there's not a lot of gifting going on in the Waffle House?
but not of that
point. Not that big of gifts. But that definitely made me say, what the?
Yeah, that is definitely WTF.
That is crazy.
But she had nothing to do with the guy's death.
No, not according to police.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I think he died of natural causes.
Ooh, yeah.
So she stole the car.
Might be a guy sitting on my bed.
Time for kinky crimes on Thursday. Now, Masters this weekend?
Yes.
You like to watch that?
I used to love to watch it when my man Phil was in contention every year.
I used to love, Tiger was in contention.
Yep, Tiger and Phil, those battles. All the golf needs that.
Yeah.
Golf's been thrown for a major loop by the Saudis invading with this golf thing and all that. Paying all these guys a fortune.
But you know what? I'm going to bring a little exposure to golf.
All right.
So in South Carolina, a couple was arrested Sunday for an indecent exposure after they were spotted having sex in the middle of a golf course fairway.
Hey.
Right?
Now we're cooking.
Not Augusta.
Officers were dispatched around 7:25 p.m. to the Tega K Golf Club in reference to an indecent exposure. A witness reported that a man and woman were having intercourse on hole number 8 of the golf course.
Interesting, they chose hole number 8. Right.
But they could have stopped on hole 6 and 9. When a patrolman arrived, he spotted a male with no shorts on and a female that appeared to only have a bra on. The woman was on her back, and the male was laying down with his head between her legs, performing oral sex.
Singing Christmas carols.
Too many things you say there. Like
he's just trying to improve his lie.
No, he was, yeah, or he was mowing the turf, right? I mean, the cop instructed the pair multiple times to put their clothing back on. And then they arrested Dakota Payne, who's 19 years old, and Kiriana Hennessy, who's 24. Now, Hennessy reportedly stated that she and Payne should not have been engaged in those activities within the public view. Couldn't help themselves, I guess. Yeah. Hennessy lives in a home adjacent to the fairway where she was arrested. I guess her bedroom was busy. Mm-hmm. The complaining witness told police that when he first spotted the individuals laying down the fairway, he thought that someone was possibly having a medical emergency issue. Those concerns were allayed when the man used a pair of binoculars and saw the male was in between the female's legs. Two other witnesses who were on the tee box at hole 8, so they're doing this in the middle of the day or in the evening. Well, they're
just letting them play through.
Right, I mean, yeah, right. Said that they observed what they thought was a deer laying down in the fairway. However, upon close inspection, they realized it was two people having doggy style.
Hey, there you go.
Both of them got arrested.
She's just bending over, naturally, getting her ball out the cup.
Oh, jeez. So many moving things that could have been said about
wow, that is your kinky
prime for Thursday.
I've done a little golf course sex, but not while
by
there
yourself,
were rounds going
you're
on.
By yourself.
Yeah, by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
Last two ones you got.
Publicly.
That is good. That's good. I thought you were going to say because Augusta, Georgia is right on the South Carolina border. I thought you were going
to
say
I just want to tie it into golf.
They had somehow broken in because I think that place is guarded like a,
I'm sure.
Like a castle.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a special edition of the new Real Life Real Crime Daily segment, Bring 'Em Up Right.
There you go.
Today we feature a mother from Arkansas who taught her son a lesson on the value of being on time and the potential consequences of not being on time. Monday through Friday of every school week, her 7-year-old son would board the bus for school at 7:30 a.m. Arriving at the bus stop on time was essential because the school the 7-year-old attended was a full 7 miles away from her home. Hmm. On Tuesday, April 2nd, the boy missed the bus. His mother decided the 7-mile journey to school on foot would teach the youngster to value the importance of punctuality.
My dad said he walked 10 miles to school both ways up hills with no shoes.
In the snow.
Sorry, go ahead.
He might have been embellishing.
Yeah, maybe so.
The mom, Amber Nicole Thompson, was arrested later that day in Jonesboro. We're talking about Arkansas here. Mm-hmm. After Craighead County Sheriff's deputies found her son walking alongside the road alone. Thompson was charged with domestic battery and endangering the welfare of a minor after police alleged she forced her 7-year-old son to walk more than 7 miles to school after he missed the bus. Thompson allegedly told the police it was, quote, not her problem that her son had to walk to school. She allegedly said her son was old enough to get himself up for school and old enough to get himself to school. Police claimed that the boy told a deputy that he had been sent to bed without dinner the night before by Thompson after he had gotten in trouble. When deputies arrived at the boy's home, Thompson was still asleep, as were her two other children. The booking photo of Thompson kind of makes you wonder whether the woman has a serious drug problem.
Yeah.
I just showed Woody the photo, yeah, and you agree on that.
Definitely faces a mess.
So we at Real Life Real Crime Daily are all for holding our kids accountable for their behavior and parents taking decisive action to deter bad behavior. But we think that maybe in this instance, the punishment does not fit the crime and the punishment endangered the life of her son. So
7 years old is too
fucking way too hard.
Now, if they're like 13, 14, I'd get up.
Agree. So this is 100% bringing them up wrong. All three of her kids are presently under the care of a relative. She definitely has a major drug issue and the seven-year-old walking 7 miles. I mean, yes. Lucky that nothing bad happened on his seven-mile walk. Yeah, she's got
based on the mama or drug dealer could love. Yeah. Dumb criminal.
Raise him right.
Dumb drug addict criminal. Unreal. Raising her kid wrong.
All right. Brings us to the end of another episode.
And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you to our sponsors, Roy and the Two Christens and Louisiana Pet Crematory and Parish Forensics and all the great stuff and Broussard. I hope everyone's just blessed.
Amen to that.
Who you got in the Masters? Tiger? Taking Tiger?
So they had this thing I was reading this morning that and then they said it predicted the Masters winner last year, and it went by categories like age and if you never did this and hadn't done that and hadn't done this on the back nines, and it came up with somebody I'd never even heard of. So that's who I took. I don't even know his name.
Did they win?
Well, no, the fucking Masters hadn't happened yet.
No, I thought you said last year you did that.
They won last year. This article was on it was on Google.
Scheffler didn't win last year?
Yeah, but it, whoever won, it fit underneath the criteria, and so they used that formula again, so we're going to see if it works.
Well, this year I'm going with Vijay Singh.
That's a great pick, Jim.
DJ. He's making a comeback.
Last weekend. He is. When he was doing it, and I took the four below him, he just walked that dog. Yeah.
He's playing on the senior tour.
Yeah. He's definitely
DJ singing. DJ is
him and Arnold Palmer.
60 plus.
Yeah.
Arnie, unfortunately, has passed, so he will not be playing. You know, they have the old.
Maybe he's sitting on my
bed. Yeah, I was going to say maybe he's sitting in bed, or maybe.
They have the old champions do this fairway. Ceremonial tee off. I don't know if Jack Nicklaus.
The golden bear.
I think he may still be able to do it this year. He's getting up into his 80s.
Gotta be.
He don't have a drink named after him like Arnold Palmer does. Does he?
Sure. I'm sure he does.
He is the golden bear.
He is.
I'm sure he does.
All right. Well.
But he didn't have the love of the fans that Arnold had. I mean, Jack has to still be considered the greatest. I mean, Tiger had the best 10-year period in golf history, but because of the injuries and all the other stuff, it didn't continue.
And the women
love golf. Jack is considered by most the greatest player.
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, you're right. You ever tried to hit a golf ball like he did?
No, maybe Kevin Costner. Yeah, I tried that. Kevin Costner and Tim Cup.
Oh, yeah. Tin Cup was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah. The best, I said, the best Costner movie ever.
That Kevin Costner doesn't wear underwear.
A bunch of the pros post videos on social of them playing, doing Happy Gilmore in the tee box, and it's pretty funny. And they can hit the ball. hit the ball. So
look, far. And you know, it was a shame. Of course, Kid Rock played in close to us where we're recording right now. He played in Gonzales, Louisiana this weekend and brought down one of his friends, Tucker Carlson, came down with him. And I was disappointed that he did not bring John Daly with him.
I understand that.
Tight.
Are they? Two.
Yeah. John Daly and Kid Rock hang out like at their house.
Why is Kid Rock famous? Did he have
oh my God, he's one, great, man.
Fucking American hero. His music, he's like Axl Rose back in the day. He can go from deep to all the different octaves and he just, you know, write some fucking great shit.
Okay, so
really, all the way from Christian music to American bass.
Sorry, I'll get myself educated on Kid Rock. What would have to happen for women's golf to see the kind of crazy surge that women's basketball has now seen.
I would tell you exactly. Paige Spear and Nick Need.
Well, that's going to bring some male fans to the table. Well,
it's still getting millions of views.
I don't know that that's going to help the sport. No, they need somebody like Caitlin Clark who like makes 60-foot putts all the time. They need somebody making crazy long putts. Or
topless.
Or somebody with certain measurements you're thinking is
I mean, the best.
Well, they've had. And
there's some really pretty.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It ain't done that good for them golf. So far. I mean, they've got a lot of pretty golfers out there that are female. But
that's right.
God, I can't remember.
You need to stand out like a Jordan, like just someone who has done something for the women's golf game that nobody else has done before them.
But you got to be able to do something so different. Like the whole
Caitlin Clark 300 thing yards.
Is shooting, taking 30-foot shots. It's like when Steph Curry showed up on the scene in the NBA.
You know what's coming up next? That women are going to get to play in the Masters, and women can beat the men in the Masters.
Yeah.
At golf. Yeah. And then
when is that going to happen? That women are beating? I don't
know. I'm sure it'll be in our lifetime. Everything else is integrated.
Yeah.
Bathrooms.
Yeah, but I don't think women want to play against men. I mean, Annika Sorenstam played some tournaments on the men's tour when she was the number one women's golfer in the world. She was a great golfer, but she couldn't really compete on the men's tour.
Billie Jean King played against.
She played against an old guy in a televised tournament and who made an aggressive bet with his man.
Who was the old guy's
name? God.
I can see his face. I know.
Trivia question. Who was the old guy? I can't believe you don't know that. I cannot believe you don't know that.
Is he an African American?
No.
But I know who you're thinking of.
No. Can't remember his name.
Oh, wow. That's it.
Johnny Mack will play against I'd like to see Johnny Mack play one of the Williams sisters. Who do you think would win right now? Johnny Mack is how old?
I don't even know who Johnny Mack is. So that's
you
know
the show for today.
Oh, John McEnroe.
Yeah, Johnny Mack.
You said Johnny Mack. I was like, who the hell is Johnny Mack?
That would be a good we got a fight coming up with Mike Tyson against Logan Paul.
Hit
right?
The line.
Like, how many years difference
it's
between Tyson and Logan Paul?
Tyson's going to beat the crap out of Logan Paul.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. I'll put any amount of money on it.
They're going to have bets on it.
He's going to have to do that
it's
quickly.
It's going to be great.
I mean, he's going to have to do that he certainly could do it in the first
that
round.
That being said, all our female listeners have tuned out 15 minutes ago.
our male numbers are going through the roof, though. Let's talk UFC.
I'm down with that.
Let me proceed
each other. What's the stay hard pill that sponsors like every ESPN? It's Doug Flutie and what's his name do it? Anyway, I was just going to give them a shout out as our sponsor for this little segment here.
All right.
We need
We need a mail enhancement. Segment brought to you by Cialis, I guess.
Woody, what you think? Love and appreciate him?
Love and appreciate each and one of them.
Very good.
And I'm done.
Mike. All right. I got Scotty Scheffler.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agovino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Glad.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.